boy's foot, a yellow balloon, and blue, 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 blew it up huge. Fat boy blue, 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 blue. The balloon grew and grew. Then skinny boys picked up the pieces and made little balloons. That was a translation of a poem by a Mozambican poet called José Crebarina, and it was written in Portuguese originally. It's a fairly free translation. Free translations or versions are something I'm quite interested in. I'm going to kind of flicker in and out of those as I do the reading now. And also some poems that fit in with what your deputy Lord Mayor was saying on that excellent speech about the industrial heritage of the city, in my case Coventry. We also went through that similar situation when the closure of the car factory in the 80s. I thought I'd perhaps do one more of Tony Owens before I start my own set, because he's a good friend of mine as well as one of the writers I'm publishing next year. So one more by Tony. My father's eyes were blue. Anvil eyed, my father glanced at me. "Dress me well for Karen," he said. He drew his breath like a baby lamp as I brushed his hair with steady hands. My father was Sicilian. The miners called him Brando. My mother called him Darwin. And he left for work golden, returning a shadow he stained my lips black. He'd sit by my bed, stroking my hair, curling my forehead. I knew he'd kiss me every night, for I awoke in tattoos from where he held me, reading me Whitman while I slept. He had no last words for me, just a smile and a squeeze of the hand. And he was 23 again, in a Daimler with Karen driving to Loch Lomond, with 42 shillings, two smiles, two rings, and her father's rock. Called Iberian Baroque. It's set in the Igreja de São Francisco in Porto in Portugal, which is a cathedral, a Franciscan cathedral. Aztec or Inca, I stare granite eyes from an arch of grey stone. Wreaths of stone flowers curve in the arch whose foot is on my head. No gold. Other heads are set about me. Animals. Beaver from Labrador. Jaguar from the January River. Larger than mine, my head was shrunk to allow for the enlarged earlobes. No gold on this stone token. Around, beyond the chain of the arch, everything is gold. Heaven. I saw this scrawl on shields of mashed feathers when Quetzalcoatl, feathered snake, appeared from the east as a bearded man. Heard it uttered when my father was given a feather, chained in a circle of dirt and made to fight snake men with fangs of steel. Men by foe. Windward, through waves of gold, five men are beheaded in Morocco. One, Dishkoop, neck snapped like Tudor. Two, hair in fists of turban warrior. All round-eyed, staring at the gold, futile poor martyrs of Morocco. Somewhere diagonal, blind, another head, not like mine, peers from the root of a tree where are hung many ghosts. At its tip, a woman in blue cradling a child's body. The head with round cheeks, the child supports the weight of the tree, and above a child-child clusters gold, though some were swollen black and sad in smoke of years. And below, the roots of the place are marble, white roots as of mountain, and even in its caverns, skulls are scarred like trophies, gleaming in the ink black, chattering through trapdoors down to the dried up bilges and shifting floor of bones. Don't worry about clapping between poems, you know, sort of a just disrupt. Give me an extra big clap at the end and buy a couple of my pants. I thought you'd like that one being a Catholic country, you know, culturally also. Okay, the next two I can remember. Spawn. At dusk, a fog steamrolled down on us, concentrating the stink of the city on itself. Carved into the sour ribcage. Lamplight swings into triangles and cones. Trees knuckle at churches. Grass flares white. And like earth huddled in a cold ambient, a water skin films privet, hornbeam, herb, and our hair. Everything man-made is wet. Puddles gape like fish eyes that are bled. I wonder how you'd photograph the sea. Hangers from blackout. A street's missing tooth where straggly buzzers squat. The sad silver lament of the shop floor hammer and fumes. Funk in dark winter coats. The gourmet men. Duskfall. Jasmine curlicues. Thin arms against the sky, wafting to the evening's ear, sweet gulps of liqueur, contra, creme de menthe, crane flies stumble in the minibar, lullaby, written to you, love. In copper plate script. Bomb. Cathedral rises in every shape of sky, yellow lettering like an eye. Rename it Loventry, each oblong and triangle now scar with blue on low sky. Nail varnished blue, clutch. Flesh-grey town at Choke Road. The weight I, dear, flatback and choice you, and flower deforest you, stamp the brute power on you, brute root and cow fire you. Your livid runes, identity, squat uniformed blue with nail yellow scab lay. Argyril, I'd will cast back to the furrows of Spawn End, Hillfield, the Victorian sewers, the riddle of entries, down there, hurdle, curvy, foe, spite you all the slurred elves of this liquid shitty whittle for lurch below, and blow your ghost town great house flat down. Probably not for industrial commentary thing, but for one anyway. The City of Home is a special, you know, the two-tone band, the Specials and the Selector, so some references to them creeping around for some of these poems. But this next one is another sort of translation. It's considerably from the Spanish Gypsy, and it's an old song in the Gypsy languages of Southern Europe, but it's in the French languages as well as some Spanish dialects. The original goes, you know, some Chal Malbrun Kingara, and set of guitar and drums and so on. And Malbrun is the Duke of Marlborough, you know, and it's a lament, you know, on his death, because Napoleon was persecuting the Gypsies, you know, and so they were quite glad when he stepped in the Peninsula Wars and he took him on. I've got a very free version of it. Charlie Mann played guitar. Grandon, grandon, grandera. Charlie Mann played guitar, and he had a horn. Yes, he had a horn. She bit his neck like a jaguar. Grandon, grandon, grandel. She bit his neck like a jaguar in America. In America. And this boy woke up cool and raw. Grandon, grandon, grandel. And this boy woke up cool and raw. Then he went to war. Oh, he went to war. To land up on some empty shore. Grandon, grandon, grandel. To land up on some empty shore like naming a star. Like naming a star for Antiope or Cassandra. Grandon, grandon, grandel. Antiope or Cassandra on the bastard law. Bastard law. In songs like water under all, grandon, grandon, grandel. In songs like water under all, it's drumming sorrow. It's drumming sorrow. So brick the mosque, void the bazaar, grandon, grandon, grandel. Brick the mosque, void the bazaar in grey tongues of myrrh. Grey tongues of myrrh, the Persian dust clouds settles down, grandon, grandon, grandel. Trees flare red, the autumn smirk, like a weeping scar, like a weeping scar. Back to urban deprivation. Coventry Boys, just dedicated to my friend Colin Dickman. Those poets of you who come over to Coventry on the next year's exchange, because I think we've seen Paul and Billy coming in the summer and Tony and I coming here as a pilot this year, and it will happen again with more of you. We'll meet Colin Dick, he's an old painter in the regionalist mode. He was a very close friend of John Hewitt, the Ulster poet, you know, the mentor of Healy, for those of you who know he was an Ulster writer. Coventry Boy. One pie-shaped boy in sky blue tea jumps from the car's passenger door to flob on bus while his father's hid by the bus almost knocks me. Three rat-faced boys playing cricket, foot length of dowel, fist full of gravel, end of the road. Six little Sikhs pelt like foals uphill from Swanville. Their heads are boats, the sky scrap metal. Name, Arthur Genders, builders merchants of Covelli Road. Kev's chop shop, beautiful cuticles, Kurdistan hand car wash, Moira's wet fish. The city names, the sanctuary of those who turn the lathe, those who drive the buses, those who make fins that spin the propellers to fly the jet engines rolling the king back to his boys, those who make screws of certain length and are sold along with their machines, those who mend great leather belts hundreds of yards on the factory floor to synchronize the men, the screeching and strafing of metal, things strange in these days. I'll take you, love, up the Ollybrush Bolty, and I will buy you chicken jalfrezi. We'll listen to the radio all night long, it's a mingle of Bollywood and Quran, and I'll ignore the intercom's commands, for your eyelashes curl like their melodies. The only way to travel, beetling down the hill, the drilling engine shouts to roar, then we're swooping like whittle on the town, panels shaking, the tom-tom's crosshairs trained upon the point our chariot was born, as precise as German radio beams flickering along our moonlit rivers. The Burgess, the Birdcage, the Campbell Club release. And what of the abuse? The vomit-stained seat, quick-legged lads in the entry, the poles encroaching on the license of guilt. I carry a kirpan, and at my call each sore-ass cabbie in the Fogel Road will be at my back, nimbler than the police whose cast-off gadgets our quick sons can doffer. I'm not a doctor, by the way. I felt a bit guilty. I hope the deputy lord mayor's a doctor, John Molloy. Not yet. I'm part way through a PhD, so doctor in training. The next one's a fairly academic poem, I suppose, in that it's based on an academic book that I had to proofread. You know, as a poet, you have to do these awful jobs sometimes to get a bit of money coming in. It's like a dreadfully boring sociology book. I wrote a poem about it instead of the only way I could get through, you know, the first chapter or so. It's about race. And the poem's called On First Looking into Cecily Jones's Engendering Whiteness. Beneath your skin, my dear, lurks a black taint with horny breasts, prouder nipples than yours. She probes a tongue into my ear, initiates sudden loving, always at night, whispers rebellion in the huts of slaves, and sometimes let you quietly draw my attention to some injustice of the overseer, murmur in your sleep, or close your eyes and gasp, it is her voice, my ear, her scent of moss, your shadowed sister. Sometimes I know not which of you I love. But the vestries are deluged with needy redlegs, their women freely marrying with demons, and a great drumming and dancing in the quarters, and we have a plantation to run, daughters to protect delicate, sweet, pale as the sun, and always suspicion, always this python heat. For Lee Miller. In the bleak washroom, its motel cramp, your elf face cynical, tired. The metronome poised below your eyes, it unzel out of Picasso, the glow dimmed that has flooded the dark rooms of uncounted hearts, luminous light. The little Führer watches you bathe from his frame on the bath's corner, fist at his hip, chest thrust out. Often he must have stood to attention in the shower, practicing faces, the pipes applauding da, 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 da. You write for Vogue that the place is well stocked with wines and whiskies. For a teetotal. Birch this cup. Heated walls, you wired back in June from Cologne, and the bloody clawed handmarks of the roasting victims baked like the designs on pottery. The inhabitants must have known. Now steam mars his pristine grey tiles, a ghost of fingerprints near the top. Piero completes the set. Facing him, on a polished table, a foot-high nude stroking her stone-blonde hair, elbow mimicking your elbow's gesture for washing a collarbone, alabaster. And do your triptychous faces consciously echo that threesome you described as the hangover to a great party you'd just missed in Leipzig, in one of the offices, a grey-haired man at his desk with head bowed and crossed hands. Sprawled in a chair, his faded wife, a stitch of blood down the chin. Dusty nurse daughter with pretty teeth, stretched on the sofa in dreamless sleep. That SS guard you snapped, his face moon white beneath the glass canal. Nudes, breasts and stomach are waxen, bulge like yours in those maddening photographs taken by your Pygmalion father. When you were 21. Your boots cue like men. Face it, Hitler's bath mat, the mud of Dachau. So I'll do two more. I'd like to just interject and say a huge thank you to O'Vale, Paul Casey, who's an organiser, Mr. Billy Randall and John, who showed me an excellent light on the town yesterday. And Cork is a lovely place, but there's beautiful women everywhere, and they all seem interested in poetry, which is a rarity in England. and you've got this wonderful architecture, this lovely clean city, and it's been a really great visit. So let's keep the twinning moving forward. This poem is called Disillusion. And it's sort of a, again, a sort of translation, I suppose, with some sort of African influences coming in there. One black velvet night, this kingdom of frogs, trouble, disquiet shake up from the coast. As thrown ectoplasm through vibrating dark, swift leapfrog spasms flop in oily water. Stink steaming cavern, Bert chuckle laughter, debating in song, signing a charter to ratify pond's disputed reed bed. King Log response. Silence, like he dead. Since he first loud plunge, no twitch of his head. The meteoric month. Between sunken thighs, crowding froglets lunge. Surely angry cries crescendo. Logs suck. Our ooze or our lives. Toes tree deep, this trick. King Log gone rotten. Now old bullfrogs speak, croaking like cannon. War ravaged dry land when he set frogspawn, matching this young band. There may be some sense in you bloody plan, yet independence, the wee frog nation, demand tolerance and fair election. Kid, kid, you jamar! Assassination follows from us. History pattern. As he remembers, not just what happened, but then future trials. Thunder face cracked in a white flashing smile. Down through the warm rain slide King Crocodile. For the last one, Dobesh Snail. Milan Dobesh was a Slovakian constructivist artist. That's all you need to know. Take concentric rings, bisect, 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 and remove carefully the most of them. Replace the last arcs in pastel shade, peach, coral, olive, mud, enamels of the snail. All meticulous unto tipexing your starting dot. White now, where the paper yellows. Dobesh saw shapes with a snail's motion. Later, stalked or bulging metalwork, mirroring only pen. Those uneven geometries, their snail pens. Unnatural shapes from metal, glass. Ink blots expanding on the filter, moiré of concentric rings printed on glass, fronting concentric rings printed on metal. Zigzagging segments spiking towards circling centre. It's snail. Forms around the crevices of his house, at gallery pace, andante, and as in a late sunny yard, raking the leaves. The bull snail, who, last time you looked, was still, it has lined many inches, and by its silver signature, not straight, shrinks into its wall, just so, the ink box splurging, gone trickery, a bicolored rod, fluorescent plastic mounted in a half sphere mirror. A giant ripple is Matisse. On his deathbed, tearing crepe into bold chunks. Snail. This one. Difference. An illusion of spiral. Downstairs. Mechanical chomping of jaws around the leaf. Eagle in spheres of soil. A creature's eyes. Thank you.